This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Whiskey's for drinking, water's for fighting. CNN reporting on the Colorado River. Months of bitter negotiations between seven states that rely on the Colorado River's vanishing water have collapsed along a clear fault line over the past week. California versus everyone else. Jeff Bliss is Pacific Watch. So I go right to Jeff to understand the gravity of this. We've watched the Colorado River retreat. It is not something that it can be solved immediately. What I was not ready for was to read that California would be a dissenter matched up against the Western states. Jeff, is this something that can be resolved? Is there an arbitration? Is a federal government to weigh in, or is this going to be a water fight? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. This will be a water fight, that's for sure. How long it will take, I don't know. It probably will mean that the federal government has to come in at some level, whether it's at the bureaucratic or the judicial level, and make a decision on it. But this has been a pretty dramatic difference of opinions here between California and neighboring states who are a part of this compact that deals with the water from the Colorado River. Colorado River water supplies water to about 40 million people in the Southwest. So that's pretty substantial. And many of the cities and communities and, the agriculture depend on this water. I mean, life or death. It's not just about, can we have a nice long shower? I'm talking about, can we really have water to drink and survive? So you've got California stepping forward and saying, look, we don't want to play by these rules anymore. And this is what we think the plan should look like. So maybe we should start thinking about cutting out some folks in places like Phoenix and Las Vegas, which, of course, major cities in those areas, major players. And they're saying, wait a minute. This is not how we've been doing it for decades. So there are a lot of hurt feelings, a lot of unhappy, angry people in the Southwest. And California is really coming off as a big bully here.
Is Gavin Newsom getting good media in California?
Well, he's getting good media, but not much about this water. He's staying clear of this water right now. He rarely says anything about it unless he's just talking about the drought that we had in general or the rainfalls that we've been having. But he doesn't really get involved with Colorado and, the water supply to the Southwest. He stays away from real tough fights.
P-22, the very famous and now deceased mountain lion. Jeff, how big is P-22? What's happening?
P-22 is huge. I mean, this is a mountain lion that got its own name, the Hollywood cat, and known throughout Southern California, has seen, traipsing through the Hollywood Hills in Los Angeles and making appearances on magazine covers and in, video recordings. Anyway, after the cat had passed earlier, they've been talking about how do we celebrate this great animal spirit. So tomorrow at Griffith Park's outdoor amphitheater, the very area where P-22, the Hollywood cat, used to run around, they're going to have a service, a memorial service for the cat. And, this thing sold out in a matter of minutes, really. People clamored for tickets almost as soon as they heard he was dead. So they'll have all kinds of things. Rock stars will be there and bands and, spoken word performances. It'll be a very special thing that only place like L.A. and Hollywood can do.
Is P-22 going to get a shot at the state flag? How big is this going to be? What else can they do?
Well, it's getting so big that our own favorite representative out of Burbank, Adam Schiff, is pushing for a permanent honor. He's pushing to see that P-22 is put on a postage stamp. So, it doesn't get any better than that, does it?
No, but P-22's got friends who are very busy. I noted that there was another mountain lion, I can't remember its name, who perished in a car accident. The car hit it. And then another mountain lion attacked a boy in Northern California. Were these always there and we weren't seeing them, Jeff? Or are mountain lions acting in an unusual fashion? Are their habitats being damaged in some new way?
I'll say yes to both of those. One is we just didn't pay that much attention and there wasn't really that much focus on them. But part of this is because as our communities, our suburbs have expanded, they've been pushing up into these wildlife habitats. And so You know, once what was once empty hillsides is now, you know, there are homes up there, there are housing tracts. And, you know, where does a mountain lion go? And on top of that, when you bring trash and you bring small animals, that brings mountain lions down for free food. I don't mean to be crude about it, but really it makes for, you know, a handout for them. So, of course, they stay around and you see them much more often. People get upset when they attack their animals or they see them in their yards. And so this is how this all bubbles up. It's kind of these two or three things working together. And then on top of that, we had the recent drought, which brought a lot of those animals down to, you know, where humans were, where they had plentiful water. And so, of course, the two species were clashing.
The homeless. We go to Portland and Seattle, different versions of the same approach to the homeless. Generosity. Portland, $2 million on tents. What happened to them?
What happened was that disabled residents in Portland couldn't get around anymore, whether they were on, you know, some sort of assisted walking devices or they were in wheelchairs. The sidewalks were blocked by these small cities full of tents. And so in the course of investigating what they could do about it and suing Portland about not keeping these walkways open, they learned that the city was giving taxpayer funded tents about, you know, 22,000 of them to the homeless. And the mayor on one side said, well, it was a public health emergency. We need to do this. On the other hand, the residents of Portland are saying, I don't remember signing up for this, just giving away $2 million worth of tents.
Meanwhile, Seattle, $25 billion on the homeless. Is this new, Jeff?
That is the latest report I got out of King County, was that it's $25 billion is being set aside to take care of the homeless up there. Now, if you break that down, apparently that works out to about $1.8 million per homeless person. This is not unprecedented. Several years ago, Seattle spent quite a bit of money on their homeless, just as this is going along. And it worked out to be about $1 million per homeless person. As it turned out, it didn't change the fate of anybody, supposedly in Portland, when it came to being homeless, being sheltered, being cared for. What happens is it often does with homeless, you know, this big homeless industrial complex is the money disappears into government, you know, government funds and developers funds and non-governmental, you know, organizations. So everybody gets taken care of except for the homeless.
And the homeless in Los Angeles, Echo Park, they cleaned it up. What happens next?
They did clean it up. They've done quite a good job of putting it back together. And now they're starting to take down the fencing around it. It's been off limits to everybody, especially the homeless who used to live there. And now the residents are fearing they're going to come back. They're saying the security guards, the fences, they're all going by the wayside. So, of course, that vacuum, that void will be filled by people who are homeless.
There's trouble at Disney, but it's not something we can see. It's at the board level, the executive chairman, the new CEO is the old CEO. Does this touch the people who work at Disney?
It does, in the sense that people work at Disney get a glimpse of how much these people are making at the upper levels, the upper echelon. And these guys are making in the hundreds of millions of dollars, in some cases, billions of dollars, while they're fighting for their hourly wages down there, some of them having to work two different jobs. So you have that. You also have the customers who are visiting the parks or buying the TV streaming services who are paying more and more, it seems like, by the day. And they're saying, wait a minute, I'm not getting the same experience I used to get, but I'm paying way more. And it's not just about inflation. Apparently, these things are often tied to these huge amounts of money being paid in executive compensation. So, yes, that does affect the customers. It does affect the workers that way. But do you see a day-to-day change? It's hard to say. Probably not.
Kahuna Bliss, you take me to Tahiti. I don't know the name of this wave, but it looks like nobody comes out alive.
That's right. This is a very famous wave. And forgive me, folks in Polynesia, for pronouncing it wrong if I do. But Tihupo'o, and it's just this massive slab, this wave off of Tahiti that is so famous that, you know, all the big wave surfers, all the big competitive surfers make their, you know, pilgrimages there year after year, sometimes season after season to ride this wave. It's massive. It looks, you know, unrideable. And yet, if you're photographed or videotaped riding this wave, sometimes that can result in some pretty nice endorsements and payouts, contest wins, that type of thing. It's a beautiful, beautiful wave, but it has to be one of the scariest waves I've ever seen.
Jeff Bliss is Pacific Watch. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.